Welcome to Hot Off the Wire, a daily podcast that looks at the top news, business, sports, and entertainment stories as reported by the Associated Press. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor at the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now the latest headlines.
AP News, I'm Marcela Sanchez. Snowfall is intensifying in the Northeast, with many stuck at home under blizzard warnings and travel bans. The warnings stretched from Maryland to Maine. In New York City, authorities announced a ban on non-emergency travel on all streets through noon today because of dangerous blizzard conditions. Rhode Island and New Jersey implemented similar restrictions. Here's National Weather Service meteorologist Kevin Kadima.
It's a really powerful storm system that's off the middle Atlantic coast right now. It's heading northeast. We'll be passing south of New England. And the intensity of the storm is pretty impressive. So it's producing bands of heavy snow to the north across the region.
More than 5,000 flights in and out of the U.S. were canceled today, according to the FlightAware website. Most were canceled in New York, New Jersey, and Boston. President Trump has changed his mind about the 10% global tariffs he imposed on Friday. AP correspondent Donna Warder has more.
On Friday, President Donald Trump said this after the U.S. Supreme Court struck down many of his global tariffs.
I will sign an order to impose a 10% global tariff under Section 122 over and above our normal tariffs already being charged.
Now Trump says he wants to impose a 15% global tariff. He says in a social media post that he's made the decision, quote, based on a thorough, detailed, and complete review of the ridiculous, poorly written, and extraordinarily anti-American decision on tariffs issued yesterday, end quote. The high court had ruled that Trump didn't have the emergency power to impose many sweeping tariffs. Trump signed an executive order Friday night that enabled him to bypass Congress, but those tariffs would be limited to just 150 days, unless they're extended by Congress. Donna Warder, Washington.
This is AP News. The government is tightening enforcement for truck driver training and English proficiency.
Truckers and bus drivers will have to take their commercial driver's license tests in English as the Trump administration expands an aggressive campaign to improve safety in the industry. Recent fatal crashes in Florida and Indiana have heightened concerns.
It's English only.
Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy spoke at a news conference in Washington.
So you can go through to a fake school, no training, and then in some of these states you go to a third-party tester. And the third-party tester is participating in the scam.
The Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration has been working to decertify so-called chameleon companies.
We want to know that who you say you are, you actually are.
Duffy says they'll crack down on questionable driving schools, ensure states are complying with regulations, and do more to get unqualified big rig drivers off the road. Jennifer King, Washington.
And I'm Marcela Sanchez, AP News.
An armed man drove into the secure perimeter of Mar-a-Lago, President Trump's resort in Palm Beach, Florida, as another vehicle was exiting before being shot and killed early Sunday morning by Secret Service and a deputy, Sheriff Rick Bradshaw.
They confronted a white male that was carrying a gas can and a shotgun.
The sheriff also tells WPBF-TV he was ordered to drop everything but only put the fuel can down.
Raised the shotgun to a shooting position. At that point in time, the deputy and the two Secret Service agents fired their weapons and neutralized the threat.
That man ID'd as 21-year-old Austin Tucker Martin, according to a person speaking on condition of anonymity. He'd been reported missing by his family. Investigators believe he drove from North Carolina to Florida, picking up the gun along the way. President Trump and the First Lady, who were often at Mar-a-Lago on weekends, were at the White House at the time. I'm Julie Walker.
The Department of Homeland Security said earlier that it suspended the TSA PreCheck and Global Entry Airport Security programs while there's a partial government shutdown. Now it's saying that PreCheck will remain operational, but it's not clear whether Global Entry will be affected. Both programs are meant to help speed registered travelers through security lines. The partial government shutdown began February 14th after Democrats in the White House couldn't reach a deal on legislation to fund Homeland Security. And Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem said in a statement Saturday night that shutdowns have serious real-world consequences. consequences. Donna Water, Washington.
A U.S. citizen was shot and killed by a federal immigration officer during a late-night traffic stop last March in South Padre Island, Texas, during spring break. The death of Ruben Ray Martinez was reported by local media at the time, but authorities did not publicly disclose. The shooting involved a team from Homeland Security conducting an immigration enforcement operation with local police. Details of the shooting first emerged this month among heavily redacted internal documents from ICE obtained by a Freedom of Information lawsuit. It marks the earliest of at least six deadly shootings by federal officers since the start of a nationwide immigration crackdown under President Trump's second term.
She was adopted from an Iranian orphanage when she was 4 years old by an American war veteran and raised a Christian in the U.S. That was 1974. Now, 52 years later, the Trump administration is trying to deport her back to Iran. She's one of thousands adopted from abroad who were never granted citizenship because of a legal loophole. The AP is not naming the woman because of her legal situation. She got a letter this month ordering her to appear for removal proceedings. She has no criminal record. The letter says she is eligible for deportation because she overstayed her visa. The Trump administration has been on a mass deportation campaign. For the first time, the Pentagon and the Energy Department airlifted a small nuclear reactor from California to Utah, demonstrating what they say is U.S. potential to quickly deploy nuclear power for military and civilian use. The nearly 700-mile flight transported a 5-megawatt microreactor about the size of a minivan without nuclear fuel. Officials say it could help meet skyrocketing demand for power from AI and data centers as well as for use by the military. Skeptics warn nuclear energy poses risks and say microreactors may not be safe or feasible and have not proved they can meet demand for a reasonable price. NASA's moonshot suffering another setback, putting next month's planned launch of a new moon rocket with astronauts in jeopardy. The space agency revealing the latest problem Saturday, just a day after targeting March 6th, for humanity's first flight to the moon in more than half a century. Officials say that overnight, the flow of helium to the rocket's upper stage was interrupted. Solid helium flow is required for launch. NASA is reviewing the data and preparing, if necessary, to return the Space Launch System rocket to its hangar for repairs. Officials say this will almost assuredly impact the March launch window. I'm Julie Walker.
A new law takes effect in Kansas Thursday that will prohibit documents from listing a person's sex as anything other than the one assigned at birth. That means the driver's licenses of some 1,700 transgender residents will be invalidated. Democratic Governor Laura Kelly had vetoed the measure, but the legislature's GOP supermajorities overrode it last week. Kansas officials also expect to issue new birth certificates for up to 1,800 people. I'm Donna Water.
Former American Idol contestant Caleb Flynn pled not guilty Friday to murder in the death of his wife, Ashley. In a 911 call Monday, a frantic Flynn says someone broke into their Tip City, Ohio home and shot his wife.
My wife, she's got two shots to her head. There's blood everywhere. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
The call goes on.
I was with the children when it happened.
Okay, but you're not with them now?
No, they're in their room. They're not even awake.
Flynn arrested Thursday for murder and staging the crime scene to mislead investigators. Bond set at $2 million. His lawyer says they're concerned about a seeming rush to judgment in the case. Flynn was on season 12 of American Idol. I'm Julie Walker.
The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals has voted to allow a Louisiana law requiring poster-sized displays of the Ten Commandments in public classrooms to take effect. The 12-6 vote lifts a block placed on the law by a lower court in 2024. In the opinion released, the court says it's too early to make a judgment on the constitutionality of the law. But the six judges who voted against the decision wrote a series of dissents, some saying the law exposes children to government-endorsed religion in a place they are required to be, presenting a clear constitutional burden. I'm Mike Hempen.
Authorities are investigating a deadly California avalanche to see whether criminal negligence played a role. Why the tour company that organized the backcountry ski trip in California's Sierra Nevada didn't cancel in the face of a powerful storm, and what their guides knew as the weather worsened, are the questions that are being considered. A sheriff's office leading one of the several investigations said that it couldn't share more details, since it's an open investigation. A California state agency that regulates workplace safety is also investigating the avalanche that killed 8. As of Friday, one other person remains missing and is presumed dead. I'm Haya Panjwani.
I'm Seth Soutell, and this is the AP Markets Report. Stocks closed higher on Wall Street as markets kept relatively calm following the Supreme Court's decision to strike down President Donald Trump's tariffs. The S&P 500 rose 0.7% Friday. The index had been flipping between small gains and losses earlier in the day, following discouraging reports showing slowing growth for the U.S. economy and faster inflation. The Dow Jones Industrial Average added 230 points. That's about 0.5%. The Nasdaq Composite rose 0.9%. Trading was tentative across markets after the tariff ruling. Trump said he would still put tariffs on other countries using different means. Treasury yields mostly held steady in the bond market. Seth Soutell, New York.
When the day started Saturday, American women, not even counting mixed events, had 6 gold medals and 15 overall, and 19 medals for U.S. women if you add in mixed competition. Bobsledder Kaylee Humphreys-Armbruster, a bronze winner in the monobob, says Team USA is crushing it.
It really took a team to get here, and so I'm very proud of the performance that I put on, of my team.
And in alpine skiing, Alana Myers-Taylor with a gold in the monobob.
To be able to have my name up there with Bonnie Blair, like, it doesn't even make sense to me.
With one more day of competition, more than 40 American women will leave the Olympics with at least one medal. U.S. bobsledder Keisha Love says it's iconic. It's legendary. I'm Donna Warder.
The twin Olympic cauldrons in Milan and Cortina d'Ampezzo have been extinguished, signaling the end of the most spread out winter games in Italy. International Olympic Committee President Kirsty Coventry declared the 2026 games over at the closing ceremony in Verona, saying the games, quote, set a new, very high standard for the future. Norway led the way with Winter Olympics records of 41 total medals and 18 golds, followed by 33 medals and 12 golds for the United States. Host nation Italy won 30 medals and 10 golds. The United States men's hockey team secured gold at the Winter Olympics, and with it, redemption. Jack Hughes' golden goal at 1:41 of overtime sealed a 2-1 win over rival Canada on Sunday in the gold medal game in Milan. Team USA avenged gold medal game losses to Canada at Vancouver in 2010 and Salt Lake City in 2002, as well as last year's Four Nations Face-Off Championship. The win came 46 years to the day of the Americans' Miracle on Ice victory over the Soviet Union in Lake Placid. Eileen Gu defended her Olympic ski halfpipe title to make it 6 medals in 6 events over her Winter Games career. In the NBA, Jaylen Brown's 32 points led the Celtics in a 111-89 victory over the rival Lakers. Tyler Reddick won at Atlanta to give Michael Jordan a second straight NASCAR Cup victory. And Jacob Bridgman won the Genesis Invitational at Riviera for his first PGA Tour title. Authorities say NFL wide receiver Rondale Moore has been found dead. He was 25. Police said Moore died of a suspected self-inflicted gunshot wound. Police Chief Todd Bailey said Moore was found dead in the garage of a property in his hometown of New Albany, Indiana on Saturday. The death remains under investigation. Moore had suffered season-ending knee injuries at training camp in each of the last 2 years after a standout college career at Purdue and a promising start with the Arizona Cardinals. I'm Gethin Coolball.
The Mexican Army says it killed powerful drug lord Nemesio Rubén Oseguera Cervantes in western Mexico on Sunday. He was killed during a shootout in his home state of Jalisco. He was known as El Mencho and was the powerful leader of the Jalisco New Generation cartel. Cartel members responded by burning cars and blocking roads in 20 Mexican states. In an interview with the AP, former DEA Chief of International Operations Mike Vigil congratulated Mexico,
Felicito a Mexico,
saying the operation sends a powerful message to the Trump administration. Vigil said the U.S. constantly threatens to send troops into Mexico and claims it doesn't do enough to fight cartels. He said the operation shows Mexico is fighting hard and effectively. The U.S. confirmed it provided intelligence support in the operation and applauded Mexico's army for taking down one of the most wanted criminals in both countries. I'm Marcela Sanchez.
At the International Criminal Court in The Hague, former Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte is facing three counts of crimes against humanity for deadly crackdowns he oversaw, first while he served as mayor of the southern Philippine city of Davao and later as president. The evidence will detail his alleged involvement in dozens of killings as part of his so-called war on drugs. Rights groups and families of victims hailed Duterte's arrest in March. Monday's hearing is not a trial, but allows prosecutors to outline their case in court. 1.8 million is the current upper-end estimate number of soldiers killed, wounded, or missing on both sides, according to a report last month by the think tank, the Center for Strategic and International Studies. Russia suffering 1.2 million casualties, including up to 325,000 troops dead. Between February 2022 and December 2025, Russia has not released figures on battlefield deaths since January 2023, when it said more than 80 soldiers were killed in a Ukrainian strike. CSIS estimates Ukraine has seen 500,000 to 600,000 military casualties, including up to 140,000 deaths. Five European nations have announced a new program to produce low-cost air defense systems and autonomous drones using Ukrainian expertise. Friday's initiative of the E5 nations, that's France, Poland, Germany, the UK and Italy, comes as one of many European efforts to bolster defense along their borders, like a drone wall with Russia and Ukraine, to better detect, track and intercept violations of Europe's airspace. Both Moscow and Kyiv have cutting-edge drone warfare capabilities forged in the grim laboratory of war, where battlefield innovations have rewritten modern battle tactics. UK Minister Luke Pollard says nations are investing together in the next generation of air defence and autonomous systems to strengthen NATO's shield. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
On this week's AP Religion Roundup, high security for Friday prayers at Jerusalem's Al-Aqsa Mosque, and St. Peter's Basilica in Rome prepares for a major upgrade. During the sacred month of Ramadan, many are prevented from attending First Friday prayers at Jerusalem's Al-Aqsa Mosque. AP's Sam Metz explains how tens of thousands of Palestinians headed there face heavy Israeli restrictions.
Israel's allowing only 10,000 worshippers from the occupied West Bank to enter Jerusalem for Friday prayers at the Al-Aqsa Mosque. The limits matter because Israel, Jordan, and the Palestinians have long agreed to maintain a status quo over access and worship at the site. The compound is one of the holiest and most contested sites in the world, the most sacred place in Judaism and the third holiest in Islam. The rules and restrictions there have led to clashes in the past, so people are closely watching this year. Currently, only men over 55, women over 50, and children under 12 are allowed to enter from the West Bank. Some were denied access to cross, and most lamented that the restrictions seem to have outlasted the war.
Every day, more than 40,000 people make their way through St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. The Vatican would like to improve their experience. AP's Tricia Thomas explains what's in store.
We are here just below the cupola on St. Peter's Basilica. That is the largest basilica in the world. And for the 400th anniversary of its building, it's getting a major overhaul. Now, as part of this overhaul, a team of experts have set up a monitoring system for the 80,000 square meters that the basilica takes up. They will be able to monitor every vibration, every movement, as the millions of tourists and pilgrims pass through this space every year. Now, a few eyebrows have been raised over plans to expand the little snack bar they have here on the roof to 100 square meters. People say the Vatican might be mixing up the sacred with the profane. But Cardinal Gambetti, who is responsible for the project, says they'll just serve simple sandwiches and drinks for the pilgrims and tourists.
I'm Walter Ratliff.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.